Section 1. You will hear a conversation between a customer and a booking officer at a theatre. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 4 on page 2. Now we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 4.
Hello, Theatre Royal Plymouth?
Hello. I'd like to make a booking, please.
Yes. What is it you want to see?
The Impostor.
Right. And which day did you want to come?
Friday the 25th.
Just a moment and I'll check availability on the computer. Oh, sorry, we're fully booked for that performance.
Oh dear, what about the following day then?
The 26th? Yes, that's okay. We've got two performances on that day, one at 3:30 and one at 7. Which would you prefer?
Oh, the later one, please.
Mm-hmm. How many people?
Well, there are four of us.
Are there any concessions? Any children?
Oh, I'm not sure. My daughters are 15 and 12. Do they get concessions?
Only the 12-year-old, I'm afraid. So that's one child and three adults. Any idea where you'd like to sit? Stalls or circle? Tickets for the stalls are a bit more expensive. £12 for adults and £8.50 for children. The circle costs £10.50 and £6.50.
Do you get a good view from the circle?
Oh, yes. And in fact, we've got some seats left at the front, if you'd like those.
Right. We'll go for those, then.
Right. That's seats A21 to 24, then. They're very good seats.
That sounds fine.
So let's see. That comes to £38 altogether for the tickets. How do you want to collect them? Shall I put them in the post? They'd be sent today by first-class mail and there'd be an additional charge of £1 to cover postage and administration. Or do you want to get them from the box office yourself?
Oh, yes. Could you send them, please?
No problem. That'll be £39 altogether.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 5 to 10... on page 2. Now listen and answer questions 5 to 10.
Could I just take your card details? What kind of card is it? Visa? Switch?
MasterCard.
OK. And the number?
It's 3290-5876-4401-2899.
Okay. And the name on the card, please.
It's Mr. J. Whitton. W-H-I-T-T-O-N.
N for never or M for mother?
N for never.
Thank you. And now I've nearly finished, but I just need your address and postcode.
Yes, it's 42 South Street.
Okay. Is that Plymouth?
London.
And the postcode?
It's SW25GE.
That's fine then. The ticket should be with you tomorrow. Is there anything else I can do for you?
Yes. I was wondering if I could get regular information about what's on.
Certainly. I can just add your name to our mailing list. Would that be okay?
That would be very good. Yes, please. Oh, and there is something else, sorry. One of our group is hard of hearing, and I've heard that you can supply special headphones.
That's right. As long as you tell us in advance, we can always do that. I'll book those for you now, and you can just collect them from the box office before the show.
Thanks very much for your help.
No problem. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
That is the end of section one. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Section two. You will hear the organiser of a rock festival talking to the exhibitors and performers at a planning meeting. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 17 on page 3. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 17.
Good evening, everyone. I'm glad you could all make this planning meeting for what promises to be the biggest and most colourful free rock festival ever held in the South East. So whether you're a performer, a craft exhibitor or an artist, we all extend a big welcome to you. Could we turn first to the plan, so I can familiarise you with the layout of the site, which, as you know, is an old football stadium. We're really lucky to have so much space this year. You can see the main gate at the bottom of the plan. Have you found it? That's where most visitors will enter. It's also the entrance for those taking part in the craft fair. We've set the stalls just inside the gate on the left in a circle. If you walk straight ahead from the gate along the path without turning right, you'll come to some steps up to the football stadium. On the left of the steps is the fringe stage. This is for alternative artists. They include folk singers, poets and other acts which are more suited to a smaller stage. And they should also enter by the main gate. On the opposite side of the steps is a restaurant. And adjoining that is the main festival information point. Here you can get extra programmes and up-to-the-minute information about events, and you can discuss any last-minute problems, although we hope everything will be running smoothly when the festival opens. Coming back to the plan, you go up the stairs to the stadium. The entrance for the rock bands is on the far side, and on your right is the main stage, which will have powerful illumination and amplification throughout the weekend. There will probably be TV vehicles adjacent, that's in this area only, for recording purposes. If you look at the outside of the plan, you can see a third gate for exhibitors, opening onto a side path. A little way down the path, before you get to the trees, is the building where the art exhibition's being housed. Then, finally, there's just one more building marked on your plan, quite near the main gate. It's divided into lock-up garages, so I hope you now feel quite familiar with the main festival area.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 18 to 20 on page 4. Now listen and answer questions 18 to 20.
We also hope that you'll have received your welcome pack. In it, you should find two parking tickets for yourself and anyone assisting you, an armband to indicate that you are an official visitor, one of our brilliant yellow badges with the new festival logo, a festival programme, and several sheets of information that we'd ask you to study carefully before the event. Please could you note that all setting up of stalls, displays and so on should be completed by 9:30 a.m. and that, unfortunately, we won't be able to allow any vehicles to enter the festival area after that time. Yeah, it's a big site, but even a few vehicles parked in the wrong place can block the paths. With crowds of people, and we are expecting several thousand, this can merely be a nuisance. But if there's an emergency and access for an ambulance is blocked, the situation will become not just annoying, but also dangerous. And don't forget, it could be your mother or your child who needs help. Several exhibitors and craftspeople have asked us if any provision can be made for overnight storage of tables, chairs and display items rather than having to take them home and bring them again. We're pleased to say that a limited amount of space has been made available in the building near the main gate. You'll be issued with a yellow ticket to reclaim your property, similar to the red parking tickets, so do check you bring the right one. But please understand that this is entirely at your own risk, as we can take no responsibility for items lost or damaged. I think that's all I have to say at this point, but thank you all for your attention.
That is the end of section two. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Section three. You will hear two anthropology students, called Victor and Olivia, discussing their joint presentation about a Norwegian explorer called Thor Heyerdahl. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 24. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 24.
Right, well, for our presentation, shall I start with the early life of Thor Heyerdahl?
Sure. Why don't you begin with describing the type of boy he was, especially his passion for collecting things?
That's right. He had his own little museum. And I think it's unusual for children to develop their own values and not join in their parents' hobbies. I'm thinking of how Heyerdahl wouldn't go hunting with his dad, for example.
Yeah, he preferred to learn about nature by listening to his mother read to him. And quite early on, he knew he wanted to become an explorer when he grew up. That came from his camping trips he went on in Norway, I think.
No, it was climbing that he spent his time on as a young man.
Oh, right. After university, he married a classmate, and together they decided to experience living on a small island to find out how harsh weather conditions shaped people's lifestyles.
As part of their preparation, before they left home, they learnt basic survival skills, like building a shelter. I guess they needed that knowledge in order to live wild in a remote location with few inhabitants, cut off by the sea, which is what they were aiming to do.
An important part of your talk should be the radical theory Heyerdahl formed from examining mysterious ancient carvings that he happened to find on the island. I think you should finish with that.
Okay.
Before you hear the rest of the discussion, you have some time to look at questions 25 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 25 to 30.
All right, Victor. So after your part, I'll talk about Thor Heyerdahl's adult life, continuing from the theory he had about Polynesian migration. Up until that time, of course, academics had believed that humans first migrated to the islands in Polynesia from Asia in the west.
Yes, they thought that travel from the east was impossible. because of the huge empty stretch of ocean that lies between the islands and the nearest inhabited land.
Yes, but Heyerdahl spent ages studying the cloud movements, ocean currents and wind patterns to find if it was actually possible. And another argument was that there was no tradition of large shipbuilding in the communities lying to the east of Polynesia. But Heyerdahl knew they made lots of coastal voyages in locally built canoes.
Yes, or sailing on rafts, as was shown by the long voyage that Heyerdahl did next. It was an incredibly risky journey to undertake. Sometimes I wonder if he did that trip for private reasons, you know, to show others that he could have spectacular adventures. What do you think, Olivia?
Well, I think it was more a matter of simply trying out his idea, to see if migration from the east was possible.
Yes, that's probably it. And the poor guy suffered a bit at that time because the war forced him to stop his work for some years.
Yes. When he got started again and planned his epic voyage, do you think it was important to him that he achieve it before anyone else did?
I haven't read anywhere that that was his motivation. The most important factor seems to have been that he used only ancient techniques and local materials to build his raft.
Yes. I wonder how fast it went.
Well, it took them 97 days from South America to the Pacific Islands.
And after that, Heyerdahl went to Easter Island, didn't he? We should mention the purpose of that trip. I think he sailed there in a boat made out of reeds.
No, that was later on in Egypt, Olivia.
Oh, yes, that's right.
But what he wanted to do was talk to the local people about their old stone carvings and then make one himself to learn more about the process.
I see. Well, what a great life. Even though many of his theories have been disproven, he certainly left a lasting impression on many disciplines, didn't he? To my mind, he was the first person to establish what modern academics call practical archaeology. I mean that they try to recreate something from the past today, like he did with his raft trip. It's unfortunate that his ideas about where Polynesians originated from have been completely discredited.
Yes. Right, well, I'll prepare a PowerPoint slide at the end that acknowledges our sources. I mainly used The Life and Work of Thor Heyerdahl by William Oliver. I thought the research methods he used were very sound, although I must say I found the overall tone somewhat old-fashioned. I think they need to do a new, revised edition.
Yeah, I agree. What about the subject matter? I found it really challenging.
Well, it's a complex issue.
I thought the book had lots of good points. What did you think of the illustration?
That is the end of section 3. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Section 4. You will hear a business student predicting how management might change in the next few years. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Well, I've been talking to managers in a number of businesses and reading surveys about the future of management. And what I'm going to present in this seminar is a few ideas about how the activity is likely to change in the next 10 years. It isn't a scientific statistical analysis, just some ideas for us to discuss. One area I want to mention is business markets, and I'm sure a really significant development will be a major increase in competition, with companies from all around the world trying to sell similar products. Consumers will have much more choice. For instance, food products sold in Australia might be manufactured in the USA, China, Finland, and dozens of other countries. At the same time, mergers and takeovers mean that governments are actually losing power to major global corporations. We can probably all think of companies that exert a great deal of influence, which may be good for consumers. A third point I want to make about markets is that in the rapidly expanding economies, such as India, China, Brazil, and Russia, demand is growing very fast. This is putting pressure on resources all over the world. I think businesses are becoming more open to external influences. In particular, companies are consulting customers more and more before making their business decisions. Companies are finding out what they want and providing it, instead of making products and then trying to sell them, which is the model of years ago. Another influence is that concerns about the environment will force manufacturers to extend product life cycles to reduce the amount of pollution and waste. And, in some cases, regulation will need to be strengthened. Many societies are much more fluid and democratic, and the structure of companies is changing to reflect that. I think we're going to see a greater emphasis within companies on teams created with a specific project in mind. And when they're completed, the teams will be disbanded and new ones formed. More and more people see work as simply one part of their lifestyle, and not the most important one. And as the workforce is shrinking in some countries, businesses are having to compete for staff instead of being able to choose among a lot of applicants. Typical examples that will attract and retain staff are traditional ones like flexible hours and, something that has been made possible by advances in technology, remote working, with people based at their home, abroad, or almost anywhere they choose. Management styles will almost certainly continue to change. Senior managers will require a lot more than the efficiency that they've always needed. Above all, they'll need great skills and leadership so that their organization can initiate and respond to change in a fast-moving world where they face lots of competing requirements and potential conflicts. In most of the world, the senior managers of large businesses are mainly men in their 50s and 60s. The predominant style of management will almost certainly become more consultative and collaborative, caused, above all, by more women moving into senior management positions. Many of the changes are influenced by developments in the wider economy. The traditional emphasis of business was manufacturing, and of course the service sector is very important. But we shouldn't overlook the growing financial contribution of IP, that is, intellectual property. Some books and films generate enormous sums from the sale of related DVDs, music, games, clothes, and so on. Another point I'd like to make is that although I've been talking about companies, one trend that they have to face is the move away from people working for the same employer for years. Instead, more and more people are becoming self-employed to gain the freedom and control over their lives that they're unlikely to get from being employed. Okay, well, that's all I want to say, so let's open it up for discussion.
That is the end of section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers.